Everybody's got a to-do list, dropping off dry cleaning, picking up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance, extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Plus, they have the funniest TV commercials, so that's got to count for something, folks.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio. A downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, Spike's Car Radio. We're back. We're in the Beverly Hills studio. We have a very special guest today, my dear friend David Gooding. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. I'm a little jet lagged because I just came back from Retromobile in Paris.
Ooh, I want to hear all about it. In case you don't know who David Gooding is, I'll bet you know Gooding & Company Auctions. They are the, I would say, the premier auction house of all of these great car events that we go to. Would you agree with that assessment?
I definitely agree with that.
I say you top shelf. It's the only auction I'll go to.
Thank you.
They have they usually have the coolest stuff, and it's usually where Z, right? We go and we look first when we're – and it's places – it starts off in Scottsdale. We're going to talk about the Scottsdale market, the auction market. Next off coming up is Amelia, and then the big car week, Monterey Car Week. How many auctions a year do you do?
We do three.
Three, yeah. And those are the three,
those
right?
Those are the three, yep.
Wow.
The big three.
The big three.
Yeah.
And he does them better than anyone else. The cars are great, but also the way you make it look so easy. But I know the event that you put on is the best, from lighting to staging, everything
to alcohol.
I know. I bet every car dealership wishes they could serve booze.
We were in here last week with these guys, Rooster and Butch, and they're a couple of hillbilly Shark Tank guys. And Butch was saying, he goes, you know, they got to outlaw alcohol at the auctions. And I said, well, they wouldn't sell cars. I said, why? He goes, well, I blacked out and I woke up and I had bought five cars.
Oh wow!
And I thought of you.
Which auction was that?
It was Barrett Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was about three Barracudas. The whole thing, it was hilarious. Just a starburst selection of old American muscle. But let's just start with how you got in this business, right? Now, you started maybe early 2000s, am I correct?
Well, the company started. Yeah, the company started in 2003. We had our first auction in 2004. But before that, I worked for RM Auctions for 3 years. And I worked for Christie's for 11 years.
Yeah. And were you always in the automotive?
Yeah, always a car specialist in the automotive.
So what does that mean, the car specialist? Are you the guy out beating the bushes to find the cars?
Yeah, we're always traveling the world. Like tomorrow I'm going to Florida to look at some cars. I'm constantly traveling, looking wherever, you know, I mean we're in an office in Santa Monica. The cars don't come to us. We have to go look at them.
So. And how do you get that? You know, is it a phone call? Is it a tip? And first of all, really impressive that he's the guy flying around to look at these cars, isn't it?
Well,
I was just thinking that it gives me greater confidence in what.
That should give you less confidence.
No, but at least your name is on the door, and you are showing you've got skin in the game. You care about what is going to go through your auction house.
So what happens? So a guy in France is in the barn. You should look. It's a Ferrari.
I have a 1946 Porsche.
Yeah.
First one made before they were made.
Before they were made. Oh, yeah. We get those calls.
Right. How do you vet a car before you travel halfway around the world?
Well, people, we always ask them to send in photos, detailed photos. You know, we want to see photos of the engine compartment because you can see from photos. Photos can tell you a lot. And so if they send photos that look interesting and good, then we go look at it up close.
Yeah. And what have there ever been any big disappointments when you get there?
It must be 80%.
I was going to say 90. Yeah, I was going to say
90. Really? So 90%. So there's a 90% fail rate.
There are a lot of cars that don't turn out to be that way, or more often than not, their price expectations are too high. The car is great, but then, you know,
so that
it's a million-dollar car that they want $2 million for. But the other, you know, it's not just me flying around. We have a whole team of people. We've got specialists here in L.A. We've got specialists in the Northwest in Seattle, specialists on the East Coast, fellow in England, fellow in France. So we've got people all over.
Wow. Yeah. And where's the most gold? Where is the – what region has the most cool stuff, do you think?
Certainly California is a hot spot. Also the Northeast. There are a lot of collectors in the Northeast, uh-huh. but they don't necessarily keep their cars there. You know, sometimes they'll keep their cars in Florida or –
Right.
You know, but both coasts are a hot spot. UK is a huge hot spot.
Really?
Mean, yeah. The Brits are just – they'll they've been nuts about cars since the dawn of the motor car, and I mean, look at where all the racing is done, and all the racing development and everything. They'll race anything. You could give them this, and they'd race. You know, I mean, they'll race anything in any weather, and yeah, so they're nuts.
So they really drive their cars.
They drive their cars all the time.
Yeah. And I always assumed that all those cars were right-hand drive cars, though. That's the problem with those British cars. No,
they drive everything.
They drive everything, and they have everything.
And a nice day is if it's not raining hard.
You know, right.
They put their top down. I mean, when I used to live there for a little bit, and people drive around with convertibles when it's raining. I mean, today, you know, in California, we'd be, you know, with our cars and
bundled
cover.
Up.
Yeah, bundled up and everything. They're putting their top down.
You know, it's funny. It's just it's a little sidebar. I don't worry about my cars in the rain in Monterey. Monterey Car Week is the only week where I'm just like, I don't care. Yeah. We were in Speedsters all the time. The top's down. It's misty. It's like, you're just doing it, right? The second I get back here, I'm crazy. It's a clouds in the sky. I'm not taking the Speedster.
I was thinking that yesterday we were going to do Speedsters, and I was thinking, God, I'm so glad we didn't, because I would have had to drive in from Malibu today in a Speedster, and it would be 50 degrees. And it would have been horrible.
Your muffs.
No, it's not horrible. It's great.
I don't have a
heater
done in that car.
Oh, you don't have a heater.
Right.
All right.
No
Do you have
heater.
The little side windows that you put in?
No. Nah. Well, okay. I'm not like you. I don't enjoy doing that. I just want to get in the car and go.
I have the heater boxes. I turn them on. I put my side windows on. I put the top up, and I cook in there.
You're going to be warm.
I'm a steamed Ipswich clam by the time it's done. Tasty, Zuckerman. And I'm so happy. When I use that car in cold weather, I get really happy. I've never driven it in snow, but I'd like to do that.
You should do ice racing, the Porsche ice racing.
He has an ice racer.
Yeah?
You know, the 59 Carrera GT that came out of Sweden that Spike found for Jerry that I managed to obtain.
Yeah.
Well, see, now Spike
his ears are ripped up. See,
I like that.
He just put that in his file. Yeah. Where you have
exactly.
index cards that joke Spike.
He just
index carded that. Okay, it's in there.
And
now, do the English keep their cars nice? Do they have good stuff?
They have different. They have they have amazing stuff, incredible stuff. But they tend to be more race prepped, and they're not as finicky about cosmetic condition as
Americans I like that.
Are.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why should they be?
They like things used and dirty.
Right. Yeah. And they always thought we were funny restoring and over restoring.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They like what the patina, as they say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk about the Scottsdale market. That's the first really big auction month, right? January of the year.
Yep.
And it's Scottsdale and everybody's there.
Everybody's there.
How did you do? How did it go?
It was great. Actually, we were the only auction house that was up over last year.
No way.
Yeah.
Ice to the Eskimos.
Serve it up right here. I know. I love it. No, it was good. It was really good. We had we set, I think, 11 records. And
what were some of those records? Do you remember?
We had a 275 GTB, one-off 275 Ferrari that we sold for $6.6 million.
Wow.
And it was a spectacular
car. What was one-off about it?
Everything. It was the only Pininfarina-bodied 275. You know, they're all Pininfarina designs, but they were Scaglietti built. And this is the only Pininfarina built one, and it had it was very different. If you sat it next to a regular 275, the shape was different, everything about it. No two parts were interchangeable, and it was built for Pininfarina himself. So really cool car.
Well, here's a picture of it right here, right? It's this guy right here that I just pulled up.
No, that's the one that we pulled out of the barn that's going up at Amelia.
Oh, this is an Amelia car.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fantastic story. Now, how did you find
that's a long
did you
noise,
find that car?
A long
that
nose
car,
alloy.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah,
there
yeah,
you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Wow. So that car, car came in actually as a call to us. You know, sometimes we're chasing them. Sometimes people just call us. And this fellow called us and said, I've got a 427 Cobra, and I've got a 275, and it's an alloy body. And it was his friend. His friend called us, and he said, my friend's got these cars, and he's had them for 38 years.
Tingling. Yeah. He's tingling now.
Appreciation. He bought them for a nickel.
So you get these calls. You know, usually we get these calls. I've got a Vega or something like that. Right. You know, you're like, okay. And no, you know, no offense to Vega owners or anything like that. But you know, we get this call, and we're like, 275 and a Cobra. And so one of our specialists went right across to the East Coast and saw the guy, and they were there in the garage, covered in dirt and dust and everything. Where they
were you told this was the Pininfarina bodied car, or you discovered that?
No. That was a different car. Different car. Oh. These cars are coming up at Amelia.
Yeah.
So the Pininfarina car was a car actually that the Pininfarina car sort of switching gears. No, that's okay. Pininfarina car. I've been chasing. I saw that car for the first time in 1989 or 90, and I couldn't believe it. It was the most beautiful Ferrari I'd ever seen, and so I'd been chasing it for that long,
mm-hmm.
following it. It went into this collection in about 93, and it was just locked away, and they never showed it or anything, and I just kept chasing the guy.
Because eventually they'll sell.
Yeah.
There'll be a weak moment.
Weaken them.
Planting the seed.
Yes, seed theory. We know that all too well.
Yeah, exactly.
We do the same thing.
We're gardeners.
We just don't auction the cars.
Yeah.
We take them and we hoard them. So
I like that.
You know, going into January, everybody, all of our car salesman buddies, they're all saying the same thing. You know, we're waiting to see what happens in January. And so for Gooding, it was solid.
Yeah.
And which cars, which were moving? Because I've been hearing that production cars, mm-hmm. anything that's a production car, exotic, they're kind of stalled out. But the one-offs, they're the best example.
If they're the best example. I think people are oversimplifying it. The market, there may be fewer buyers than there were, say, a couple of years ago. But I think what was happening was a couple of years ago, there was a lot of speculation. The avid, voracious, hungry collectors are still there,
mm-hmm.
and they're buying the best of the best. But as the prices were going up, everybody was like, okay, well, let's sell my car. And so you were getting a lot of junk on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say junk, but average cars coming on the market. Mm-hmm. You know, if a Speedster was worth $300 and then they were worth $500, everybody was like, well, every Speedster is worth $500, right?
It's really the Dinos.
Well, the Dinos, exactly. Right. But, you know,
that's
everyone is worth that. No,
right.
No. So a bunch were going on the market,
right.
And then those ones weren't selling that well.
Mm-hmm.
But the good ones are still selling. And still selling pretty strong.
Right.
And sometimes very strong.
So the market is educated.
Yeah.
And people kind of know now.
It actually – the market now, people are saying, well, the market's weakened. I actually think the market is in a really logical place. Great
mm-hmm.
stuff can sell really well. It can also sell strong, or it can sell really well. And bad stuff, it's better be priced really, really low.
Right. So you have to – if you are stuck with a car,
mm-hmm.
if you are stuck with that Dino with 40,000 miles and the paint isn't perfect, it's not that you're not going to sell it. You have to price it appropriately.
Yeah, exactly.
Market correct and realistic.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Bitcoin moment in the car market is over.
Yeah. No, exactly. But it makes sense, you know? I mean, that's
– Yeah, it does make sense.
That's a logical market. That's a good market. So.
Yeah, yeah. And were there surprises at your auction? What were the ones that you went, wow? You know, there's always – when I come to your auctions, and as you know, I've been to a bunch, and we've shot Car Matchmaker at Amelia. Was it last year or 2 years ago? And we were shooting another one in Monterey. There's always funny surprise cars. And what struck me the last time we were there at one of your auction is, you know, there are these extraordinary numbers for cars going up, right? Millions of dollars for these cars.
Yeah.
But the audience was cheering for strange cars like Toyota FJs.
Yeah.
That would come up. Or when the Fiat Jolly comes up, everyone stands. Yay, the Fiat Jolly.
Yeah.
No, and then that car does extremely well. What is that?
Is that the comic relief of the auction?
I don't know. You tell me what that is. Fiat Jolly I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why were they cheering that one and not the record spent for that Ferrari California?
Because, you know, people like some more approachable things. It's not always about the multi-million dollar car.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we agree with it. You know, you can't have a sale full of too inexclusive cars. And then it's got to be somewhat democratized and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's something for everybody as long as there's quality and interesting cars.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you can have an interesting Jolly or an interesting VW van. I mean, we had a bus, bus that did the 23 window that did 200.
Yep, every time,
every auction. I mean, the emotional show off.
That's the souvenir.
Too much.
The drunken billionaire takes home for his wife, son, or daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
The
and
win
they have
lose.
A fun. It's a good. It's a
the
good
win lose. Lose.
That's what we call the win lose. I won.
You've lost, sir.
You lost.
Try and sell that. But we always want to buy that car too, right?
Yes,
that's
of course.
Always the funny. What we always go and that.
Yeah,
let's get that. Whatever that is,
it's approachable. You know?
Yeah, well, VW
at a level.
No, Volkswagen buses are great if you have a family. Like
right.
You can't beat them if you have young kids. It's
yeah.
The lemonade stand. It's it's the greatest.
Right,
but if you don't. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
It's 36 horsepower. That's
yeah.
Even
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It has its limitations.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I would think there'd be a whole business in you know, customizing, doing a you know, like a hot rodded 23 window.
I think that the people do. Traditionally, there was a group of guys when those were affordable.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of guys that would do that. They were really into air cooled.
Yo Casas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first thing you want to do is put a second set of brake lines on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. You don't want to just go fast. You want suspension and brakes. And
right.
I was just driving that thing this weekend. My friend has got a thing in my hangar, and I was driving it, and it was funny. I drove it home at night, and I was trying to drive it like a Porsche, and it was saying back to me, no, you got to drive me like a Volkswagen, sir.
Yeah.
And what that meant was you can't shift gears until it's done with that gear. So you're in second and you're kind of mid-range and you
yeah.
want to go to third. Don't do that.
Don't do it because
it's going to
torque. It
just stops.
Yeah.
It just,
what about the headlights? Were they throwing a feeble amount of light forward?
Oh, I love that.
You do?
Oh, I love that.
You love
no,
the
that's like
visible
my. Yeah,
miles.
I do.
Yeah.
Someone was saying that Steve Alarcon was saying that about our leaf green tea. He goes, you know, I'd get those lights replaced in the dials and the instruments. And I was just like, no, that's what makes it look vintage. I love really dim headlights. I like that little added element of danger
I like
and patina and yellow.
I don't like the danger. I don't like the fact that someone's not used to – people are not used to that. We're of a certain age where we remember weak headlights.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But younger people, of which there are many more younger people than us, don't know about that.
You know, and here's where we got into trouble with it just this past weekend. We were blasting through the canyons, right? And I was behind you, and I had Waze open, and I saw that the police were up ahead. And we were jamming. And I was flashing my high beams at you. You didn't see it for a long time. And I raced up to him. What were you? You were in the 87.
And I
was in the Speedster. But luckily, I have a John Wilhoit motor in that Speedster. And I
right.
jammed up to him. I got in the tunnel. I went, bah, 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 police.
Yeah.
And we were being chased by these idiot kids
in a
Charger. And Zuckerman's like, what? And I'm like, the universal sign,
yeah.
up ahead, like
yeah.
200
yeah.
yards. And we all stopped and let the Charger go. And he went right into it. And it was so glorious. It was so beautiful.
Well, he was tailgating. And that's, you don't want to be tailgated by a Charger when you're
in
a small
He was tailgating
little...
my Speedster.
No.
And he cut off.
Right.
Yeah, Seinfeld was with it. He cut him. It was just being a menace. There were three Porsches together. Leave us alone.
Right.
You want to pass us? Go past
go
us.
Past
we're,
us yeah.
we're having a nice drive. And pretty satisfying moment, wouldn't you say, Zuckerman? We all went by like.
Did you honk and wave?
Yeah, we went by like Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
Just just 50 miles an hour.
Schadenfreude. Old man Schadenfreude.
And okay. Mr. and the mustached officer just went boom and grabbed him.
And I didn't notice because I was having one of those moments. You got me that cassette that in the wrapper, Led Zeppelin 2.
Oh, yeah.
And the cassette, I had it in the cassette. And I was I was thinking, wow, they really knew how to record albums. And the drum solos, all of that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, when's the last time I heard a good drum solo? And there it was.
Yeah.
And you're shifting and having a great time.
You're enjoying it. It was a beautiful day and there was nobody on the road. And we weren't speeding, but we were 10 miles an hour over.
We
weren't doing 100, but you know what I mean. We were over that limit where we're going to get in trouble. It would have been a lame speeding ticket, but really nice, really fun. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more David Gooding. We're going to catch up on Amelia and then maybe talk about Monterey and talk about Zuckerman. We'll be right back. Kimball Musk, Elon Musk's brother, has just announced he's giving away his personal and fully customized Model 3 Tesla for charity. Well, that's cool. They're partnered with Omaze, the online fundraising platform, and one lucky person is going to win the sixth Model 3 Tesla ever made, courtesy of Mr. Musk. It has everything from voice-activated controls, Wi-Fi, LTE connectivity, premium audio sound, LED fog lamps, long-range battery. Taxes are covered too. Wow, that is a sweet deal. You can enter for as little as $10, and all the proceeds will benefit Big Green, Kimball's own initiative to provide healthier futures to kids through learning gardens and food literacy programs. A winner is going to be randomly selected at the end of the campaign. So, to enter, visit omaze.com/spike. That's omaze.com/spike. Plus, Omaze is a really great find. Check out their other experiences while you're there. They've got one with William Shatner, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and others. Don't forget to use promo code SPIKE to double your chances of winning on any of these. Wow, I'm going to do that. And rest easy knowing that even if you aren't the lucky winner, it's all for a good cause. Think about it, folks. You might be able to win Elon Musk's brother's Tesla. I'm in.
Get ready for Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame photographer has hit the podcasting scene. Each Tuesday, starting February 27th, Andy and co-host Jonas Wadler will chat with some of the world's most prestigious athletes of all time. Enjoy stories from life behind the scenes with the most decorated sports photographer in the business. Make sure to subscribe to Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein, beginning Tuesday, February 27th, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the brand new Podcast One app.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
All right, welcome back. We're here with David Gooding of Gooding and Company. We're headed into the Amelia weekend. Zuckerman and I may or may not be there. We understand Jerry told us he's unveiling a 935 there and said, why don't you guys come for the weekend? And then we were hanging out with him this weekend and we found out his weekend looked to be like he was going to be there for 5 hours. So we don't know that we're going to be there, but you have a lot of cool stuff coming up in the auction.
A lot of Porsches too.
Yeah.
A lot. It's
43%. 43% of our auction is Porsches.
How has that changed over time?
Well, look, the Porsche mark has always done really well at Amelia. I think, you know, Florida with Brumos and with Daytona and Sebring has always been kind of a Porsche hotbed. Mm-hmm. There's been a tradition there. And because of that, we've attracted Porsche collections, and we did it with the Drendel collection and various great Porsche collections through the years. So then it's just sort of become a tradition. People have Porsches, they come to us, and this year is no different. So we've got
43% for one mark.
Yeah, we're going to rename it Stuttgart Island.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this picture here of these 12 Porsches from a private collection.
Yeah.
No, that comes to you how? An old man passes somebody wants
family,
to cash out?
Or? He was a passionate collector of Porsches, James Haskell, and his family he passed away. His family wanted to bring them to market, and actually through Dario Franchitti, the race car driver, he recommended to call us, so they called us, and we got the
and there's some
collection.
Great cars here.
Yeah,
87 959.
Wow, yep.
Comfort.
Yeah,
They couldn't have just spelled it with a C.
They're Germans. Why, it was the 80s. There was no internet.
A Carrera GT. Wow. Look
at the Carrera GT's got delivery miles.
Really?
Yeah. He's the first owner. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I went through that. I got Ron Burkle's Carrera GT with 300 miles, and I didn't realize that meant I had to do a lot of work, actually. In the Carrera GT, you might want one with 1,000 or 2,000 miles.
If you're going to drive it.
If you're going to drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these days, a lot of the collectors of those sorts of cars aren't going to drive it. So I don't know. It depends.
They're not the most drivable Porsche. You have to be a committed car nut to want to take one of those things out.
Have you driven yours much? Or?
Yeah, I drove it. But you have to, again, you have to know what it is. You have to know how to drive that thing.
Yeah.
You can't just get in that car having driven Honda Accords your whole life and just think you're going to drive it.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble.
And even with instructions, the first couple of days, I was embarrassing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was stalling it out and having people beep at me and call me a loser. Loser! It's like, yeah.
I'm learning. Give me some space.
It was humbling and it was good for me.
You don't have that car anymore, right?
It's gone. I got a very, very good price, and I loved it, and I'll be back in that market again one day. No. I want a different color, and I want one with 5,000 or 10,000 miles.
Oh, boy, okay. I can't think
of it. I was going to say, because, one day could be March 9th.
Here we go.
Everybody's looking at me in a way that the true expert salesman sizes up a pigeon who he's going to pluck.
They all look at you that way, Zuckerman.
I just got this.
How many good in cars have you bought? I
know too many.
You've got the Ferrari, the Daytona.
Wait. The best one was my auction moment when I bought the Saab. Remember the Saab?
Yeah.
Right, which was just my toy car moment, and that was a great car.
That was a toy car moment.
That was a toy car moment.
But that car is beautiful. I remember that car.
It's
a station wagon, right, with a little picnic basket.
Right, and the whole works.
Do you remember the funniest part about that car when you open up the tail and right there in the back was the gas tank?
To blow the kids up.
To blow your kids up.
They sit on
the gas tank.
The third bench seat is a flimsy piece of plywood. Yeah. On top of the gas tank.
I was going to buy it. I was like, this would be great for my kids. Oh, no. Yeah. It's like sitting on a Bugs Bunny bomb. Was that, I wonder, a flaw with that car? I guess they really didn't.
There's no moment for that. This is pre-internet. This was the 1960s, and they're building cars in Sweden in isolation, really, from other norms and other conventions. And that's what made the car charming, because it was a quirky car, I think.
Did it ever work right?
It did work right. The year before, though, remember the year before that, they were selling two-stroke cars. Imagine that.
Yeah.
A two-stroke car where you add gas to the oil to the gas. Yes. But this was a four-stroke teeny engine that you could have picked out with one hand, and it had a very crazy four-on-the-tree shift. And the problem was that there's three guys that know how to work on it, but even fewer parts.
Yeah.
The parts were an issue to get for that car. And so the drivetrain did rattle a little bit, but that was a question of getting the right parts.
Right.
It just looked like a summertime postcard, that car.
It did.
You're just happy times.
And you really see where in that car what was so evocative, and I'm going into the weeds here, but Saab was manufacturing airplanes, and there were so many aviation cues in that pokey little station wagon. It was great.
Yeah. You still have it? Or?
No. I sold it to Kevin. I gave it to Kevin Watts as part of the deal. Yeah. I let him handle it.
At Road Scholars.
Yes.
In exchange for what?
I don't even remember at this point in time, but we did a...
It's a blur.
It's a blur.
But, we were talking about Carrera GTs a second ago, and they really are exceptional cars. Like, I can't think of a better collector car right now to spend some money on. Just the analog feel of that matched with this exotic car.
There will never be another car like that truly is a race car, a street legal race car that you wonder, as a personal injury lawyer, you say, how in the hell did this pass the lawyers at the company? This car is so fucking dangerous.
It's crazy dangerous.
In the wrong hands.
Yeah.
That's what's great about it. You respect it. You fear it. And you learn. It's so engaging. It's probably the most engaging a street legal car on the road, I would say, that you really have to think about every move in it.
Yeah.
And then it's so rewarding when you hear that sound.
The noises.
And there's no other sound like it in cars. That is the greatest exhaust. See, I'm talking myself now into it, Zuckerman.
You talked me back into it.
I love it.
Well, yeah. David, how well does this one – are the shocks good? Is the alternator good?
You know, I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure.
Right.
The alternators?
Yeah, alternators will go bad if they're using the wrong trickle charger, not using the factory one that plugs in.
Okay.
And then also the shocks at the back are kind of horizontal and they dry out.
The rubber dries up on that little metal spine there. Yeah,
they leak out or something. And that's where you get the way I got my car, when you go around you went around a corner and you got this crazy, dangerous undulation from the shocks being bad.
Yeah.
There's no weight back there.
right. So that was another big job.
How do you check a car out when it is at auction? So say we want to come buy this car.
Yeah.
How do we have a look at that?
Well, it's great to come well ahead of time and have a look, meet with the specialist in charge who got the car in, look at the files, look at the car, crawl all over. I mean, we welcome people to come. We start them up. We can even, if you're really a serious person, go out. Take the car out on a test drive. You're allowed to ride with us. We don't throw you the keys and let you go. But because as an injury lawyer, you can understand things can go wrong there. But we want you to experience it and look at it and make your own decision.
And anybody can come to the auction, right?
It's
really a neat thing to see. It doesn't cost any money to get in there.
You have to. There's an entry fee to buy a catalog. The catalog admits you and a guest into the catalogs are usually $100.
It's super fun. It's like, you know, if you wanted an alternative to a car show, just walking around on grass and looking at things sitting there, this is a very active, fun event with cars moving around and stuff rolling onto the stage and, you know, great coffee.
Yeah.
I always like having your coffee and you know, there's always a great group of people hanging around. And then
there's some real nuts.
And you can argue and then you argue with your friends about what it's going to bring. And then it goes up and somebody wins.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice little side table for you to have. Some gambling
betting
on these
cars.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
The gambling would be great. When I was sitting, maybe it was a year ago up at Scott's house, sitting next to a nice gentleman. We were both eating and somehow we were talking about the cars he liked and he was a mortician, and I'm thinking. And then we started getting into some really weird conversation about cars, morticians, hearses. It was such an unexpected side journey into a strange the car life of a strange profession.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of cars was he into?
Well, obviously hearses.
Yeah.
Cadillacs. He could tell you a whole lot about the evolution of the hearse. It was fascinating. And he liked big old Rolls as well. The 1920s, 1930s stuff. He was into that. But he was a car guy. He was into every – and of course, you know the way that you put on a display there, you find yourself at everything's in its best light. It really – everything. There's something about the lighting that he does in the stage.
There's the lighting, but there's also the other guy looking at the car that you like that makes you crazy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The whole thing is rigged. It's all rigged.
we hire actors.
The shills in the eyes.
It's rigged because it creates desire, and then you feel like, oh, I might lose this thing that I want, which is the fun of the whole event. That's what I really like about it.
Have you ever talked to any psychologists or marketing gurus about why are you so tapped into my psyche? How do you know what I'm going to like?
Because we're like you. We've never talked to psychologists. We've got great marketing people who are experts and know how to market cars. And you know, we're car guys, so we'll say, oh, you know, you got to take it from this angle, and they know how to light it, they know how to present it. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of time. Our marketing team spends a lot of time on the online catalog, on the catalog itself, and then as the cars come up on the stage, all the lighting cues to make them look amazing. They spend a lot of time designing that.
And just to interrupt at that point. The guys who drive the cars onto the stage.
Yeah. Who are those?
Hold on, Zuckerman. Yeah. They're coached.
Yeah.
Because we know some of the guys. Ed, who works in inner city transport.
Sure.
But I've never seen Ed look like that. What do you – they come up.
Shock therapy.
Yeah. No. And they do this. They look straight ahead.
Yeah.
and they're really good at it. Yeah. What is the instruction that you give them?
Well, that's, you know, that I'm not involved in that. But they say that's like not my department. But they tell them, you know, we don't want you to. I think at our first few auctions, the people would come up, the guys would drive, and they'd look out at the audience and wave to their family and, you know, hey, and, you know, like,
and wave,
shooting at people.
Ruin the value.
And, like, yeah, totally. And then it becomes a little distracting. So we said, okay, you know, focus, look straight ahead. You know,
you're not the star of the show. Yeah,
you are not.
Of course. Yeah. He's driving a Ferrari California from the 60s. It's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Woo, waving. Yeah. Everybody's applauding. Yeah, it's like, me. That is so funny. That's obvious. Now I understand.
Yeah.
So now it's like, keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
And all the cars have to be running at that point too, right?
Yes,
what happens
they do.
When, I mean, have you when had those don't. Scary moments?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Where they, you know, they ran fine for days and days and went out on test drives. And then, of course, they run out of gas or
right.
stall. Or,
so you just
know.
Have to push
okay.
them
Tell
up
us
onto
the
crash
stage. Crash stories. Anyone crashed getting onto the stage?
Onto the stage? No.
No, okay.
Just drive right off into the front row?
We did have
a video of that.
We did have a car. It did not sell. And after it was coming off the ramp, the wheel came off.
and everybody said, we knew
yeah,
that wasn't
yeah,
the car.
Yeah.
So, that's the same
that's
thing
the
that
model,
happened to
that's the model falling on the runway.
That's the same thing that happened to the Seinfeld 917 when Symbolic was showing it to Jerry out at Willow.
All right.
First turn, Chad McQueen behind the wheel, front wheel came off and it crashed.
Whoa.
Well, it just kind of went down the front end, got wrecked. And,
yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Jerry said, well, that's that.
Yeah. Okay.
But then he bought the car anyways.
Yeah. And that was a good move.
Yeah.
It was actually probably really good for him, too. The price gets a little like.
I know. Yeah. I coached him through that. I pointed it out. And yeah. I should get a commission on that, don't you think, Zuckerman?
We're the biggest McQueen believer out there. You got it.
What do I deserve for that? So
just the credit.
I see you got to buy it. 1.5 mil. It's probably worth 30.
Yeah.
I should get something.
I think something.
That was 2000, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was at the beginning of the McQueen insanity. And it was sitting right on La Cienega in Hollywood.
The window of Symbolic.
And I
drove
by.
Oh, I remember that showroom. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was there.
Funny
Just
showroom.
Sitting there in the window.
Yeah.
I went in.
Golf 917.
They were running that place like pirates. And I walk in there, and I was just a kid, and they had a first-generation Viper in there. And I said, can I drive that? And they said, yes. And I almost shot across the street to Nibbler's restaurant.
Yeah.
I almost ended up in the sunken bar of Nibbler's. Remember Nibbler's?
No.
Yeah.
That's
laying
great.
Rubber and
right.
it was
spit
just,
it. I said,
Nibbler's.
You never went into Nibbler's?
I missed
it's
Nibbler's.
Like the kind of place that
I would
Billy
go to
Joel
Norm.
Was singing Piano Man.
Oh, really?
About.
It was a nighttime place?
Or for drunken lawyers that worked in the building above. And it had this, it was super dark and a sunken bar and a good bar mix to keep you thirsty.
Yeah. That whole block I ignored because it was Red Lobster's, Lowry's Steakhouse. It was all the garlic rose.
The Larry Flint building, right?
Yes, of
right
course.
Larry Flint, that's right. Yeah,
yeah
that's another reason. I'm not eating near Larry Flint.
Beverly Hills.
Right. Oh, that's crazy. So, Amelia, what are the other big things we're looking for there?
I mentioned the Haskell collection. Yeah. The fantastic 275 and the Cobra from the Barn Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Our star car is the 2.1 RS Turbo Porsche, mm-hmm. car that came second at Le Mans in 74. Yeah.
We don't
baby
know.
Baby turbo.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it drivable, though?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We just
Do we have a picture of that car? Where can we see a picture?
Come on, it should be on our website.
It
must have
some diabolical fuel injection. And
It's a crazy car. It was just we just pulled it out and did a test of it over in England. Amazing car.
Tyler, do you have a picture of that car?
Huh?
Bring it in.
Yeah,
bring
yeah.
It.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
have a look.
Oh, yeah.
And then the punch in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't driven it, but our UK rep drove it and said it's amazing.
Okay,
and it's a really, really original car.
What's the estimate on it?
$6 to $8 million.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm out.
It's
how about you, Ferris?
Oh, I'm way in.
But this is the first turbo Porsche to race at Le Mans. Think about that.
I hope Jerry's
and
listening.
It came second at Le Mans overall. It was leading, and They would have won Le Mans, but I think it was Matra had gearbox problems, and so Porsche, being the gentleman of the time, loaned them gearboxes. Matra put in a gearbox, and they actually finished ahead. Yeah, Porsche came second with this car.
Well, we know who can make that happen.
Look at this car. Look at that livery. It's a Martini livery.
But a 2.1 liter engine, huh?
Yeah.
Racing in Le Mans. Boy, these guys were really crazy, huh?
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware of this.
I didn't know that.
There was another car that looked like this that was called the Mary something. Do you remember this car? And that same Martini livery. It wasn't a turbo, but it was a 73. This is unbelievable, this car. Is this street legal by any chance?
Minnesota. Yeah.
Right. One of those cars,
you know, Sam would be able to tell us that, but a lot of those cars came with titles, right? And you can get a license plate on it. You could drive that on the road.
They weren't using race VINs that early.
Yeah.
Right.
That was why the Tangerine RS that you owned, that I own now, was able to be registered in Arizona as a new car.
That's right.
But
even the IROC RSR and, you know, 8-Ball and any of those things, they've got VINs.
And you ridicule me for wanting to be left behind in time.
What do you mean?
I want to be back there. I don't want to be here with technology and all this. I want a world that's not so everybody knowing everything, where you can go to the DMV and pull one over.
Why am I ridiculing you?
You previously ridiculed me.
For what?
For not being up to date on technology. For saying, oh, you're a 90s guy. You stopped in 1995.
I have?
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember?
I think just with your pants, but not with anything else. No, I don't remember that.
Okay,
but
you and I
think the same way about this stuff. We like that stuff. Yeah. I love the idea of someone putting that on the road and just driving it. You know, that would be the coolest.
That would be awesome.
That car is gorgeous. That car is spectacular.
Yeah, and that's going to be at Amelia.
Yeah, I mean, think of it. It's one of the most historic Porsches. I mean, the first turbo Porsche to run at Le Mans came second. That's a significant.
Is there someone that was on the factory design team that you could dig up for a little interview?
Norbert Singer still around? Is he?
I don't know.
Talk about
a great marketing thing there, a little interview with a guy.
Yeah. Well, you guys do that now. You've kind of picked up on the social media cues that people want to see little films with these. How does that work? How many of those do you make now for your online catalog?
We do about, I would say, 5 to 8 a sale.
Uh-huh. It's really smart because we can see the car moving. We can hear the sounds.
We're doing one of that car.
You are?
Yeah.
And you get to drive it, right?
No, well, some of them I get to drive. I didn't get to drive that one. Actually, Joe Twyman, who's our UK rep, who's a great professional driver, semi-professional. Mm-hmm. He does historic car racing, races at Goodwood. He races 917s.
Oh,
he races,
wow.
I mean, yeah, and like driving a 917K. In the wet and everything. Anyway, he drove the car the other day, just last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
out in the UK.
Oh, the greatest job.
The car's being flown. I think it's coming to LA this week.
I was going to ask you that. How do you get these cars here? You throw them into a Lufthansa cargo bay?
Yep,
and
yeah.
Bring them in.
How
it's going to be here next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think Tyler, who works for you, was telling me about. So it'll be in Santa Monica.
It might even be here this week. I'm not sure.
We can see it.
We need to go and see it.
Yeah.
And ogle it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they won't let you take pictures.
There was a really spectacular original one. This one is very, very, very original. But there was the sister car was in the Drendel collection.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All original paint and everything else. That car didn't do as well at Le Mans as this car. So, if you remember that car in the Drendel collection, this was...
There's so many gems there. You really are. You have a jewelry store.
What do you pluck off your own stage for yourself? You have cars. You collect cars.
It's a family collection. We have everything from a 1913 Mercer Raceabout, which is a fantastic car.
Can you drive that?
Oh, yeah. It's actually one of my favorite car to drive.
Really?
It's a car I learned how to drive on.
Come on.
Yeah, no. It's very, very simple to drive. Anybody could drive it.
Does it have a gas pedal and a brake pedal like I'd be familiar with?
Absolutely. Yeah, but actually you use the brake is a handbrake is better. It has a foot brake but a handbrake. But the gas pedal is kind of outside the bodywork. You put your foot in a stirrup hanging out into the wind. And that's your gas pedal and clutch, and you can shift like that. It's just fantastic.
I'm looking at a picture of this car, and I've been watching the Masterpiece Theater Victoria series, and they just invented their first train, and this is what the Mercer runabout raceabout looks like.
Yeah.
It's like four wheels, a chassis with a seat on top
and
of
it. And you're sitting atop the car. You must be 6 feet, 7 feet off the ground.
No, you're low. That's the great thing about it. But,
oh, really?
But you're out.
Like a four-foot steering. Shaft that looks like it would go right through your neck if you hit anything.
Yeah, it goes into your chest.
That looks like a lot of fun. Learning to drive on this isn't learning to drive. That's learning how to drive a Mercer raceabout.
You know, it's same basic car dynamics. You can put it into a four-wheel drift. It slides totally predictably.
Really?
It's an 80-mile-an-hour car.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And what else?
Oh,
and
yeah.
What else do you have?
We have a Silver Ghost Rolls Royce from 14. We have a 27 Bentley, a 55 Jag.
What is the 55 Jag? That would be a 140?
A 140, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Aston Martin, 300 SL.
Wow, cool. Just a 300 SL.
Yeah,
look at Zuckerman. Cranking his eyes.
Yeah. But these are not just my cars, but it's the family cars. My wife drives them. My daughter learns how to drive.
Oh, yeah?
She's driving sticks, so she's driven the Aston and the 300 SL. We're going to get her on the older cars.
What about any Porsches in the collection?
No Porsches
BMWs?
Right now. We had no Porsches or BMWs. So we got – I know.
You're an Englishman.
German. We got some German. And then two Ferraris. So got
and which
Lusso,
Ferraris?
A Lusso and a 330 GTC.
Oh, bastard.
Lusso. What color is the Lusso?
Lusso's in primer, right now.
You're going to paint it?
It's going to paint, yeah.
Oh, great.
Probably, I think it was originally a sort of deep, dark red, so that's what I'm going to go with.
So you're going to keep it stock, right? Yeah. Corsa. Is it Rosso Corsa?
Cosmetic. The engine's going to be – it's going to have a healthy engine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I usually like original cars, but this engine's going to be a little healthier than normal.
Oh, yeah?
Slightly bigger carburetors.
I like that.
Yeah.
That'll make it move, right? A little more like a 250 short wheelbase.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
There we go. Bingo, Ferris.
You're going right there. Yeah, exactly.
I love Lusos. You know, it's one of my dream cars. They're the greatest.
And the sound of them, so...
Wow, what a great collection. Where do you keep – well, we don't have to answer that.
Give us the address.
We keep
them around. I keep them around.
In various shops, actually, unfortunately.
You're still out at the airport with us, right? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. I hope we all stay out there. It's a beautiful place. And thanks for coming in, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
We're going to see you out in Amelia. If you folks are going to be in Florida, out in Amelia Island, what are the dates of this?
March 9th.
March 9th. That's the auction date?
That's the auction date.
That's the auction date. If you're not lucky enough to go there, you're going to do what I do, which is you're going to get on your phone or you're going to go onto your computer. And I've watched your auctions from the most faraway places in the world. One of my most favorite memories is sitting with my friend Dennis Franz Sipowitz, lakeside in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
No kidding.
And we were smoking cigars in Adirondack chairs watching your auction go off in Monterey.
No kidding.
It was awesome.
I didn't know he was a car guy.
He's not.
Okay.
And he was stunned at the numbers, and he said, now I'm going to be a car guy.
Cool.
He went, $10 million! There was something that went off. A Tommy Hilfiger guy bought. It was insanity, and his eyes were open to the beauty of it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll see you soon. If you want to catch up with David Gooden, go to goodencompany.com. You'll see everything they've got going on there. They've got the online catalog. You can sign up. Easy to sign up to be a bidder.
Yep.
Simple. Zuckerman, it's always good to see you,
friend. A pleasure.
You can catch up with Zuckerman at The Real Zuckerman, not the fake Zuckerman, on Instagram. And what's your law firm?
Carpenter, Zuckerman, and Rowley. So if you've been in an accident, well, you were one. How does the commercial go?
You don't even need to say a commercial because all of the wins you have are what provides the money for your incredible collection. So the success is obvious. This is the guy to lock it down. And I'm at Spike Ferriston, mostly interacting on Instagram. So you can find me there. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Real quick before we go, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.